When Mark's gospel shared the story about John the Baptist as the forerunner of Jesus in last week's gospel story, it was more of the traditional rendering of how things are. John apparently is this firebrand preacher who proclaims, if not demands, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But if that's not enough in and of itself to catch your breath short, there's this additional unsavoriness. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John the Baptist, despite what his name might imply, is not a media-savvy, television evangelist kind of guy. He's wearing camel's hair and a leather belt, not one of those fancy ones either. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He belongs on that Discovery Channel's TV series, Naked and Afraid, which is what the famous sculptor Rodin created in this stunning artistic portrayal that we actually had to censor a little bit. By Mark's description, John the Baptist is not much to look at, unlike this sculpture, apparently. We would not likely be wanting to welcome him into Sunday worship in our sanctuary, pandemic or not. And think about his message. Repentance. Forgiveness of sins. Even if he can offer that to people in buckets full, would you really want to stand in public and have to admit your failures and trespasses? It's never been something that's gained a wide and large audience, really. And would you want to go out into the wilderness, to the literal middle of the sticks, to admit your wrongnesses and be baptized by someone who, by all appearances, looks to be a nutcase? The altruistic answer that we would like to have is yes. Sure we would. We'd be glad to go. It would seemingly make us look faithful, right? But honestly, we ought to be willing to confess our no. Leave our comfortable home in town and go out to the sticks to meet a man of God like that? No, we wouldn't go. There wouldn't be a bus from First Pres, I'm afraid. I've come to love these painted depictions of biblical scenes reenacted by believers in Cameroon, Africa in the 1970s. I love them because the invitation originally was for the whole community to help recreate each of the biblical scenes. Then photographs of the reenactment were taken, and then later an artist painted the portrayals in picture form. They remind me of the days, many of you will remember, when the federal courtrooms didn't allow cameras in them, and for the big trials, the television news networks would hire artists who would go to the trial and then sketch what was happening in court. So while the news anchor was reading the news of the day from the courtroom, you would at least have something to look at. Now, depending on your network, there would be a different artist, and his or her picture was based on what he or she saw in the middle of the court trial or what they witnessed. Sometimes it would be the expression of a witness's face on ABC, but if you turned quickly to CBS, you'd see the consternation of the judge and the skill of those artists needing to capture quickly that moment because it wasn't one that they had a picture of to go back to later. These pictures from Cameroon are based on the reenactment of the gospel lessons from each of the lectionary Sundays, and they began with the community deciding first how these stories needed to be interpreted and then told to the community. In this panel, John the Baptist is preaching and exhorting the whole community. And at first glance, you might not make out his camel's hair and belt. And so if you were told that this was a story about Jesus or related to Jesus, you might make the mistake for yourself that it's not John the Baptist preaching, but Jesus. And that's exactly the case in John's story. As John tells the gospel story of John the Baptist, people are confused. Maybe this is Jesus, because they look at John and they're reminded of the messianic figure to come. They look at John and they say, this could be the Messiah. Seriously, John the Baptist could have been the long-promised Messiah, the long-awaited one, and Isaiah or another prophet could be the forerunner. But in a word, no. John confesses up front and then again that he is not the Messiah. He is not the Messiah. He looks like the Messiah, but he is not the Messiah. The Messiah is coming after. Which means especially for Mark's gospel and John's gospel, where there is no birth or Christmas story, there's a bit of uncertainty about Jesus' true identity. Even John the Baptist can't recognize Jesus until he comes to be baptized. Could you pick John the Baptist out of a lineup? Or Jesus? The key then to understanding John, and perhaps Jesus too, is to see and hear what John is proclaiming and to receive his baptism. And according to commentator David Loos, John's explanation of himself is akin to this summation. No, I'm not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet. I'm just some dude trying to do what I believe God called me to do. Just some dude? Susan, try moving it forward another slide. Just some dude? But it's part about doing what he believes God has called him to do that's revealing here. Just someone trying to do what he or she believes God calls them to do also has the right kind of ring to it for Jesus. At least, that's part of who Jesus is, too. John the Baptist, here trying to do what God called him to do in the wilderness, baptizing for repentance, reminding people Jesus is coming. Then Jesus, trying to do what God called him to do in his life and witness. Then Christ followers who come along after, trying to do as God was calling them to do. And now it's us. So what does trying to do as God calls us to do look like? And maybe it should look a little bit like Christ followers, a bit like Jesus, and a bit like John the Baptist in this story. But this is exactly what makes John the Baptist's story so difficult for us. Because we don't relish the thought of living in a camel's hair wardrobe and dining on locusts and wild honey, for starters. We struggle with John the Baptist's claims that an altogether other lifestyle is necessary than the one that we're living. Just one example is that there are real choices between our religious values and our culture's comfortability with a more consumerist-driven Christmas season. My colleague and commentator Andrew Foster Connors reminds us that of the church's captivity to the secular pre-Christmas tide, consumerist machine that favors cheery, feel-good themes. Everything about this season is supposed to feel good, right? Or this might hit us even a little below that proverbial leather belt. our willingness to be people eager to ignore Jesus' unwelcome intrusion into our Christmastide routines. In the form of Christmas hymns, we crave, like Joy to the World, over and against the minor key Advent ones, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, that mean we have a preference for good news that doesn't require any painful reorientation of our lives prescribed by the coming Messiah. He's saying, friends, that we think we're doing well enough on our own, and that we don't need any more to be shaken up or transformed or changed by this season. But that is John the Baptist's message, that God is calling us to be reoriented to the reality of Jesus coming and our need to turn around in our lives and maybe even start over, which is what baptism is about. So if we're not interested in changing our lifestyle or our thoughts or our beliefs or our deals that comport with those of Jesus who is coming, then we've missed John the Baptist's exhortation of what it means for Jesus to be coming among us. John the Baptist, no matter what he's wearing, is not about a consumerist Christmas culture. Well, camel's hair and leather belts, those have become fine and fancy things in our world. And dining on locusts and wild honey, it's true, in our culture, these things have been turned upside down. There are people, perhaps, who will sit in fancy camel's hair coats or smoking jackets and dine on locusts and wild honey. They're all expensive, hard-to-find delicacy-like things now. But I imagine that for most of us, we won't be doing that for Christmas dinner. And rather, shouldn't we be more focused on what it means to try what God has called us to do and be? To realize it's because Jesus has come and is coming into the world that we must live in new ways ourselves. To announce that the Messiah is coming, to offer people transformation and opportunities to change, to declare that we should have hope, to know that there is peace between God and human beings, and there is joy being the people God calls us to be because God loves us. These would seem to be better messages than just blithely going on with Jesus is the reason for the season for the next 11 shopping days. Maybe we should choose to focus on the reality that God loves human beings so much that God sends Jesus to be among us. That God sends John the Baptist to help us be ready for Jesus and his message that we belong to God, that we are God's people, and that God is calling us to turn toward home. This is still the message of baptism, isn't it? God loves us. There are second chances, no matter who we are or what we've done. Baptism means transformation. It was a sign, a mark of starting over in one's life, a baptism of repentance, where what happened before could be left behind and forgotten. John the Baptist is sent to remind us, to recall us, to put before us that God loves us, that God claims us, that the sign is that Jesus is coming and that it's a rescue mission from God for us, that God is rescuing us. It's for us. But this is the message of Christmas at its core. A message entrusted to a prophet, not just an announcement for us to save the date. The message of the Gospels about Jesus is unwavering. If we can see our own selves as beloved of God, then it frees us to see other people as beloved of God too. And if we see others as being beloved of God, we are free to show them God's love because God moves our hearts to action. This isn't just a love of the heart, but a love of action. It's not, oh, isn't that baby Jesus so cute? But a love of action that involves other human beings around us. And maybe a turnaround in the way that John the Baptist is talking about actually looks like a turn around the Dairy Queen in Brainerd, Minnesota, where this last week more than 900 cars kept paying it forward. More than $10,000 of paying it forward for friends and neighbors, for the Dairy Queen, for lots of people. And that's not just because Jesus is the reason for the season. It's love in action. Surely, by people who were not just trying to do something that was good or kind, but were trying to do what God was calling them to do. Because Jesus may come to earth and be born in a manger in Bethlehem. But that's not the point of the story. Jesus is coming. Jesus has come, and you and I better be ready for something different. It's good news for Christ followers too, y'all. It is. Now, to the God of all wisdom, who strengthens us according to the gospel through Jesus Christ, be all glory forever and ever. Amen.